Chapter 12. Killer Kane, Killer Kane. Had a kid who got no brain. I feel real bad for Freak, because he hates it when people try to rub his head for luck. But I don't say a word. I just run us home, thumping the short way back around the pond. And my big feet never even trip me up, because I'm on automatic. I'm this running machine. "Whoa," Freak says, when we get to his house. "Now that was an adventure, huh? An evil dude like Iggy Lee? We were lucky to get out of there alive." Freak goes, "No way. That was all talk." "Yeah, right. The real deal is that I was scared the whole time I was there, and so was Freak, even if he won't admit it now." "The stuff about my father was true," Freak says, studying his fingernails and acting real cool again. "The fair Gwen won't talk about it. All she says is, he made his decision, and I made mine. But I know he ran away because of me. And you know what? What? Good riddance to bad rubbish." For some reason, that really gets me laughing. Something about the way he says it, or maybe it's all that nervous stuff left over from the New Testaments. Whatever, I'm rolling on the ground like a moron, and Freak is strutting around and saying stuff like, "Loretta, my queen, wouldst thou accept my hand in marriage? And Sir Iggy, wouldst thou do us all a big favor and fall upon thy sword?" And I'm laughing so hard I can hardly breathe. Everything is pretty much okay after that. One thing we don't do, though, we don't talk about my father. Good old Killer Kane, which is fine by me. School. For the last week or so, it's like getting jabbed with a little needle every time I hear that word. Grandma's trying to pretend how excited she is I'm finally in the eighth grade, like this is a really big deal, which is a joke because the only reason I got passed from the seventh grade is because they figured this way, the big butthead can be, quote, someone else's problem. Thank God, we've had quite enough of Maxwell Kane, unquote. Graham takes me out to the mall to get new clothes, which is about as much fun as going to the dentist, except maybe worse because at least at the dentist, you're mostly just in a chair with the door closed. We're at the mall with Graham. It's like, hello world, here I am, take a good look. This girl at the shoe store, she's got a little smirk and she goes, 13EEE, do they make shoes that big? And Graham goes, I'm quite sure they do, dear. You go ask the manager. And then she looks at me and she goes, Maxwell, this is not major surgery, so will you please, as a special favor to me, wipe that wounded look off your face and try to be polite. Yeah, right. The manager, when he comes out with these Brand X running shoes, he wants to help me take off my old shoes, like he's pretty sure I can't do it by myself. But I give him this look, and he backs off and lets me do it myself. I wish you'd tie those laces, dear, Graham says, when I'm squishing around in the new shoes. That's the fashion, the manager says, with this heh-heh-heh laugh. Actually, they're designed that way. You don't need to lace up. Just to prove what a jerk he is, I tie up the laces, and that makes Graham happy, which is funny sometimes, how little it takes to make her happy. Except you can't really figure what until you've already done it. Does that make any sense? Finally, we escape from the mall, and I've got enough new clothes to last me, as Grim points out, a week or so. You could just keep letting down his cuffs, Grim says, except they don't have cuffs now. What am I thinking? I think he looks quite handsome, Graham says. Maxwell, please turn around and keep your shirt tail tucked in. Ah, leave him alone, Grim says. He's not a fashion model. I just can't get over it, Graham says. Our little Maxwell is growing up. Growing is right, Grim says. The boy is certainly growing. The deal is, Freak and I get to be in the same classes. He made the fair Gwen go in and see all these people at the school, because I wasn't supposed to be in the smart classes. No way. And finally, they all agreed it would be good for Freak, having someone to help him get around. Graham acts kind of worried about it, and she doesn't want to sign the papers, like she thinks the LD class has done me a lot of good or something. And being in the genius class is just going to make me slower and dumber than ever. But one night, I come up the cellar stairs, real quiet, and Grim is saying, let's give it a try. Nothing else has worked. Maybe what he needs is a friend. That's the one thing he's never had with all those special teachers. And the next morning, she signs the papers. And when we get to school the first day, Freak helps me find my name on the list. And it's true. We're in all the same classes. At first, all the other kids are so into looking cool and acting cool and showing off their new outfits, they hardly notice us in the hall. Freak riding high on my shoulders, or the deal where his desk is always right next to mine. That wears off, though. And by the time we leave math, which is just passing out the textbooks and a bunch of numbers chalked on the blackboard, you can hear the whispers in the hall. Like, hey, who's the midget? And, There goes Mad Max, and excuse me while I barf, and look what escaped from the freak show, and oh my god, that's disgusting. Maxwell Kane? This is from Miss Donnelly, the English teacher. She's new to the school. And when I nod and raise my pencil, she goes, Maxwell, will you please stand up and tell the class something about your summer? Which, if she wasn't new to the school, she'd know better, because getting up in the class and saying stuff is not something I do. Maxwell, she goes, is there a problem? By now there's a lot of noise, and kids are shouting stuff like, forget it, Mrs. Donnelly, his brain is in his tail. Ask him to count, he can paw the ground. Maxi pad, ask him quick about his dad. Killer Kane, had a kid who got no brain. Mrs. Donnelly has this look like she stepped in something, and she can't get it off her shoe. The shouting and singing goes on, and pretty soon some of the kids are throwing stuff at us, pencils and erasers and wadded up paper, and it's like Mrs. Donnelly has no idea what to do about it. The room is out of control. Then Freak climbs up on his desk, which makes him about as big as a normal person standing up, and he starts shouting at the top of his lungs. Order, he shouts. Order in the court. Let justice be heard. For some reason, maybe because he looks so fierce with his jaw sticking out and his little fists all balled up and the way he's stamping his crooked little feet, everybody shuts up and there's this spooky silence. Finally, Mrs. Donnelly says, you must be Kevin, is that right? Freak has this look. He's still acting really fierce and he goes, sometimes I am. Sometimes? What does that mean? It means sometimes I'm more than Kevin. Oh, says Mrs. Donnelly, and you can tell she has no idea what he's talking about, but she thinks it's important to let him talk. So, Kevin, she says, can you give us all an example? Next thing I know, Freak has his hands on my head, and he's getting himself on my shoulders, and he's tugging at me in a way that I know means stand up, and so I do it. I stand right up in class, and I can see Mrs. Donnelly's eyes getting bigger and bigger. I'm standing there with Freak high above me, and it feels right. It makes me feel strong and smart. How's this for an example? Freak is saying. Sometimes we're 9 feet tall and strong enough to walk through walls. Sometimes we fight gangs. Sometimes we find treasure. Sometimes we slay dragons and drink from the Holy Grail. Mrs. Donnelly is backing up to her desk and she says, oh my, that's very interesting, I'm sure, but could you both just sit down? But Freak is riding me like he's a jockey and I'm the horse. He's steering me around the classroom, showing off. He's raising his fist and punching in the air and going, Freak the Mighty, Freak the Mighty. And pretty soon he's got all the other kids chanting, Freak the Mighty, Freak the Mighty, Freak the Mighty, even though they don't know what he's talking about or what it means. I'm standing up straight, as tall as I can, and I'm marching exactly like he wants me to, right and left, backwards and forwards, and it's like music or something, like I don't even have to think about it. I just do it. And all those kids chanting our name, and Miss Donnelly has no idea what's going on. She's definitely flipped out and more or less hiding behind her desk. The whole class is raising their fists in the air and chanting, Freak the Mighty, Freak the Mighty, Freak the Mighty. I can't explain why, but it was really pretty cool. Anyhow, that's how Freak and I get sent to the principal's office the first time together. Mrs. Addison, she's the principal. She takes one look at us waiting outside her office and she goes, what have we here? I'm afraid there has been a slight misunderstanding, Freak says. If you be so good as to allow me to explain. Mrs. Addison is this really serious acting black woman with tight gray hair and a bun, and these suits that make her look like she works in a bank or something. She has this funny little smile, like she's sucking on a lemon, and it quick turns sweet, and then she goes, by all means, let's hear what you have to say. Convince me. I can't really remember what Freak said, except that he used so many big words, she had to keep looking stuff up in his dictionary, which she seemed to get a real kick out of. But the important thing is, whatever Freak told her, she fell for it.